And gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to the Hagmann Report. It's good to be with each and every one of you. First up, first right out of the gate, did the DNC, Hillary Rodham Clinton operatives, set up the administration of Donald Trump by using a company, an opposition research company, Fusion GPS, to set up the Trump administration to get them in a compromising position. Later, we're going to be checking in with us, Jack Posobiec, of course, internet sensation and crack intelligence, independent researcher and journalist extraordinaire, coming on the program. Jack's going to be talking about what's taking place in the social media, specifically Twitter, the narratives being pushed there. Also, later in the program, Brandon House will be, Worldview Weekend, will be with us to talk about how American Christians and American Christian conservatives are being hoodwinked by the Christians themselves, and by some people on the right, as well as the progressive communist left, into believing lies about this coexistence, everyone can get along in this assimilation routine. And then, of course, rounding out the program, Tuesday's Stan Deo, standeo.com, will be with us. So we've got a full program lined up for you. The first segment, however, I just want to start out by referencing a couple of things. It's interesting to me, as I sit here and as we sit here, we look at the Kremlin Kabuki theater, basically. The nonstop discussion about Russia and Russia's collusion in our elections. And I find it very interesting that we have a couple of situations that I think we need to really focus on: the Russian meddling in our elections. Folks, the Russian and other countries have been meddling in our elections, really. Russia since the Cold War, China since World War II. I mean, it's just a constant thing. When I say meddling, attempting to influence, whether it's through public sentiment or whatever it might be. So this is nothing new. But Fusion GPS opposition research suggests this attempt to take those previous attempts to set up the administration of Donald Trump to make it appear as if there is some there when there is no there. Questions to be raised as well in addition to all of this. James Comey, of course, don't forget, by his own admission, James Comey had sent or provided to his colleague four memos to a university law professor who then provided that information to the New York Times. Don't forget, folks, there's a funnel between the FBI and the media, between the CIA and the media. Now, depending on where that information comes out, for example, New York Times, often indicative of information coming via the FBI. Other sources would reflect a CIA leak. But in this case, James Comey sent four or provided four separate memos or memorandums to file, which he created on a government computer, on government stationery, by his own admission, and put in his drawer, a government desk drawer, for later use. Now, can this be done, and can this be suggestive of private diary type documents? Jay Sekulow, who I have a lot of respect for, who's got, who really knows a lot about the law, suggests that this is in violation of 18 U.S.C. Section 793 and 18 U.S.C. Section 641. The first being the Espionage or the Records Act, and the second being the Espionage Act. And of course, the testimony is reflective of his June of Comey's June 8, 2017 testimony. And again, 18 U.S.C. 641 is unauthorized disclosure of a government record or the Government Records Act, and 18 U.S.C. 793 section subsection D specifically would apply for the espionage. Don't forget as well Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Donald Trump. That backfired back in January. The DNC met with Ukrainians, in fact, the Ukrainian operatives at the embassy in Washington, D.C., to entrap and to expose, in an effort to expose Paul Manafort and his business dealings, which turned out to be nothing. So we've got the memos, the Comey memos, which are truly government documents. You've got Hillary Rodham Clinton, who destroyed, mishandled her documents, tens of thousands, perhaps, of documents, 30,000 for sure. We've got her mishandling and intentional destruction of documents. She, while during her tenure as Secretary of State, 20% of U.S. uranium went to the control of Russia. $100 million in speaking fee, or $100 million in fees, went to the Clinton administration. You talk about Russian collusion. There it is. And then we've got Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton meeting on the tarmac. And this is stuff, these are points that the mainstream primary corporate convoluted, polluted media will not talk about. You've got deep state leaking at so many levels. It's just absurd. 125 leaks in 126 days, by the way.
And that's where the real crimes are. The Donald Trump Jr.'s email and meetings and opposition research, there's not even any real crimes to speak of there. There's not, it's nothing. It's a microcosm of what even the Clinton campaign did. And you mentioned Ukraine.
Yep.
And there's
yep.
many other examples. There's nothing here. And again, the media makes like it's some big breaking news story, and it's the same group of so-called media outlets, the Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, and, you know, they continue to push this rhetoric and this narrative, even though there is no real meat behind it, and they're grasping at straws. And I know you mentioned the Fusion GPS. I believe they're a representative from Fusion GPS is a person who set this meeting up.
Absolutely.
And gave the impression that there was opposition research this lawyer had to give to Donald Trump Jr., when in fact the meeting lasted less than 20 minutes. I believe it was about adoptions, because from what I understand, Russia...
It was about the Putin had, because of U.S. actions and policies, President Putin of Russia had put his foot down on saying, no, the Americans cannot adopt Russian children. That's kind of where that's
coming. And I think there's a bigger story behind that, those reasons, than there are behind...
And we've seen, and I do believe that to be the case as well. And I think you're right on that. This is something we're looking into. But Americans need to know about Fusion GPS. We've talked about Fusion GPS. As a matter of fact, on Sunday when I appeared on Dave Hodges' show, I said this was going to be the story that was going to be leading this week, and indeed it is. Now, the firm Fusion GPS, hired by Democrats to research and write intelligence report, opposition research is what it is. The information, Joe, that was given to the Obama administration that was circulated widely during the campaign has been stonewalling U.S. Senate committees, intelligence committees, and investigations. The reports, for example, which stand in some cases, that so-called PP dossier, which I detest that whole, to me, that is so absurd. But that, of course, served as part of the basis of Russian collusion with the Trump campaign.
Comey's investigation.
Yes. Yep.
That fake dossier.
Yes.
Was the basis for Comey's, in his own words, the basis for the investigation into the Russian hacking or whatever you want to call it.
Well, see, Fusion GPS, which was started by three journalists, and we went over this before, Wall Street Journal journalists, they have been asked by Senator Chuck Grassley to submit information about their activities. They have declined to do so. It's time to, in my view, it's time to get the subpoena power out. Again, the firm founded by former journalists is neither a journalistic enterprise nor is it a law firm, but they're acting as both. It's really nothing more than a disinformation body, in my particular opinion. And again, Glenn Simpson is the founder. He was the Wall Street Journal reporter, worked extensively for Democratic candidates and Democratic entities over the last several years now. In fact, Fusion GPS, just to remind people, they provided the opposition research against Mitt Romney back in 2012. They were hired by Planned Parenthood to get the dirt, whatever they could, and to act as a PR firm against the Center for Medical Progress. And these, by the way, are some of the this company and these despicable people. It's interesting to note that if you look on some of these blogs maintained by so-called conservative Christians, it's these people who these so-called conservative Christians who believe that they've got, you know, they're holier than thou, and I have a real problem with these bloggers, these elders, these prosecutors, shall we say, who come after conservatives like Joe, like myself, who come after our program, who come after us, saying that we're basically sucky Christians, we're false Christians, and they of course elevate themselves while uplifting people, while condemning the Center for Medical Progress, because of course they misrepresent themselves in an investigation. Yet they'll stand by Fusion GPS because of course, well, what else is there to do? So Brandon House is going to be weighing in on not that person, that blog, which I wouldn't waste my time. You know, I think that person's maybe got three or four visitors a year. But having said that, it's that type of mentality that we are facing. It's that type of mentality that the American people, I believe, are sick of. And it's that type of mentality that the American people have to rise up and say enough is enough. Fusion GPS, they've been linked to foreign clients, including the Maduro regime in Venezuela. You just can't get any better than that, folks. You're going to be hearing more about Fusion GPS. And in fact, of course, what we were talking about, it was back in June of 2016 when they hired the British national and former MI6 agent Christopher Steele to draft up memos regarding purported allegations of Donald Trump and his associates. Now this Christopher Steele provided this dossier, which I'm not even getting into. That was initially leaked to journalists, including but not limited to Mother Jones, writer David Korn. The report was nothing more than open source information peppered with a lot of junk in between. But we are seeing the wheels, as I mentioned before, the wheels of the Obama's criminal enterprise, which Hillary Clinton, Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, and associates established in the previous 8 years. Remember, Obama was placed in that position, was selected over Hillary Clinton, with the anticipation, of course, Clinton would succeed him, but was placed there to open the floodgates for the refugee crisis as they started the Arab Spring, as they started the war in Syria, as they overthrew the government in Egypt and Libya. all of this is, you have to look at this as one large circle or one large chain of events interconnected. At the end of the day, when Hillary Clinton, when that coronation did not take place, their plans went down the tubes, and they had to go to Plan B. Plan B is still in the works. Plan B is, of course, to oust Trump. And I do say this, I have a real problem as I look at Pence. I'm watching him, and I can see that,
He made a statement that, this was before his time.
Yeah.
Something like that, trying to distance himself from the situation.
Yes, yes, and I can see where he is kind of, building this wall around him, which I'm very uncomfortable with that. But with respect to this Kremlin Kabuki theater, it's nothing more than that. Even, Representative Adam Schiff, the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, acknowledged that Obama knew, and this is something that is not being addressed, Obama knew of this alleged Russian influence, but did nothing about it. Did absolutely nothing about it. So if he was so concerned, why did he do nothing? Schiff, by the way, is a top-ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, And according to an article in the American Thinker written by Daniel John Sobieski back on June 28, 2017, he reported that Schiff said that Obama was hesitant to confront Russia over its active measures campaign for fear of being seen as helping Hillary Clinton and of fueling Donald Trump's allegations that the election was being rigged against them or against him. So all of this together, but we're also seeing, of course, the issues where the collusion was not between Donald Trump or Donald Trump Jr. or Paul Manafort. Although they attempted to make it appear that way, but the collusion in this case was most assuredly between the Obama regime, the Hillary Clinton camp, Podesta's. Don't forget, Podesta played a key role in this mess by his business dealings with Russia, but you're not going to hear any of that as well. So all of this combined, and again, for those just joining the program, we're getting into, of course, we're getting into Fusion GPS, we're getting into the Kremlin Kabuki Theater, how this is playing out. In a little bit, we're going to be hearing from Jack Posobiec, of course, internet sensation, and the crack investigative journalist, about the various, what's taking place on the social networking venues. And we're also going to be hearing from Brandon House about how conservatives and how conservative Christians are being really hoodwinked into believing this lie of coexistence. And some very, very well-known people are actually not just falling for the lies of the Muslims, but embracing and endorsing them, which is an extremely bad position. So having said all of that, Portions of Nice program brought to you by Portable Solar LLC. Portable Solar LLC. That's Portable Solar LLC. Now, more on that later. But so all of this combined, we are seeing this play out in a very dangerous fashion, and I do believe, Joe, that as we go through the days and weeks ahead, you know, it's we're already into July, almost halfway through. All right, I really believed, based on everything I had seen in the post inaugural riots, Linda Sarsour, you know, that jihadist apologist, and the women that got together for that pink hat march, and I'll just leave it at that, and of course the emasculated men that that went along with that. I really believe that we would see more of a more problems this year, especially this time of the year. But having said that, I'm thankful just the same. Don't forget, yesterday was the first anniversary, was the one-year anniversary of the murder of Seth Rich, DNC IT staffer. And, of course, the information about Seth Rich being really, it's not forthcoming, by the so-called family spokesperson, not forthcoming by the Metropolitan Police Department or anyone else for that matter, and certainly not by the DNC.
And there's a lot of other important news going on.
Let's take it away, sir.
One story that's been underreported, at least that I've seen, was a crash of a C-130 in where there were 15 Marines and one Navy man that were killed, allegedly, on this crash from North Carolina to California, that the causes are still unknown at this time. Apparently, the plane, they call it basically an air tank. It serves many purposes, including transport, refueling. Was a refueling plane, as well as it was traveling with 15 Special Marine Special Operation Forces and one Navy man that were going to specialized training in California. It crashed in Missouri yesterday, and it's just amazing to me when we're talking about, you know, the Donald Trump and the Russian collusion, to see so many of this be a footnote on so many of the internet news sites and on the mainstream media channels, because 15 Marines and one Navy man died in this plane crash right here in the continental United States, and there is no cause as to why it crashed yet. There is a vague write-up on the Wall Street Journal that Dredge linked to today that did not give any answers, and I was just looking for it on Dredge Report again now, and I could not find it. Maybe it's still up there, but I'm not seeing it. But there is some interesting video of the immediately after the crash that a local news affiliate got with a helicopter there that is pretty interesting, and I'm sure, I hope many more questions and answers will come from that story, because it's not something we should just brush over. And also, folks, if you go on HagmanReport.com, there's a few interesting pieces up there. Peter Barry Choka wrote a piece about how single-payer socialized healthcare, what it would mean for innovative and alternative medicine. And he talks about how the destructive elements that are looming for the transformational medical system in the United States into a single-payer socialist nightmare is one of the most alarming developments facing us today. He goes through the history of the control that the government has over healthcare and those who are now being taxed to make sure that they have healthcare. It's all about control and making money, starting with the Obamacare that was rammed through in March 2009 as the Affordable Care Act. And it's a great piece. Everybody should go check that out again. It's by Peter Barry Choka, Single-Payer Socialized Healthcare, What It Would Mean for Innovative and Alternative Medicine. That's on HagmanReport.com.
You know, and Joe, he's been such, his knowledge into the healthcare industry predates your birth, okay? He's done so much investigative reporting on that, and that article is key to understanding where we're at and where the communist progressives want us to be. I gotta tell you, the more I read from Peter Choka, who I have so much respect for as a colleague, and I'd like to call him a friend, I've just got so much respect for him. The information is absolutely right on the money. And since you mentioned his name, he's going to be joining us for a full hour here. I don't have the date in front of me, but the other part of that is his analysis of the media, specifically Fox News and all of the other corporate media, has proven to be 100% accurate. So I really like him. I mean, he's the kind of guy that I could sit down and have a cup of coffee with at 10 o'clock in the morning, and by 6 o'clock at night, we're still talking. You know, that's the kind of guy he is. I just wanted to mention that. But that's so important, the single-payer aspect of this. That's the That's the end game objective. The single payer is the end game objective. It's always been the single payer, because once that happens, our country, the economy of our country, and therefore our country, is gone.
Another interesting piece of information up on Hagmann Report that got a little bit of attention today, and I'm not sure, I haven't really followed up with this story. There was an explosive device set off in an Oklahoma recruiting center, and they are pointing the fingers at a possible domestic terrorist incident that that was aiming to set off a device at a recruiting center. But the federal authorities set off the device. It was set off outside of the Air Force recruiting center near Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they say that they are still looking for the people responsible for it. Not sure how much of this we're going to see, but Hillary Clinton's back in the news, teaming up with Samantha Bee and Planned Parenthood, advertising on Twitter a new Nasty Woman t-shirts, where the proceeds go to Planned Parenthood. The shirts are being sold by TBS, the network that hosts Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. Anyway, they're selling these stupid t-shirts and giving the proceeds to Planned Parenthood. But one thing that's funny about the article, the producer of the article says that the show claims it's not correct to call it liberal, the Samantha Bee Full Frontal show. They say they are much more left-center.
Yeah, I call it garbage is what I call it.
Anybody who's watched 10 minutes of the show,
in my view.
Yeah, anybody who's watched 10 minutes of the show knows better than to listen to what they say. When we come back, we will be joined by Jack Posobiec. We're going to talk about his new book and some of the new revelations and talking points that are coming out of the White House. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagmann. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagmann takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmannandHagmann.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
We'll be right back.
gentlemen, this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, as we spoke of earlier, you've got so much taking place. You've got a number of things. You've got the Comey memos, which are classified as government documents, four of them, handed off to his colleague, and, of course, in violation, perhaps, of the Records Act, this according to Jay Sekulow, and other legal minds. You've got the Hillary Rodham Clinton downplaying, mishandling various documents, emails, and such during her tenure as Secretary of State. We all know this, 20% of uranium assets to Russia. And, of course, the right is being blamed for Russian collusion. You got Loretta Lynch being instructed by the FBI, or Loretta Lynch instructing the FBI director at the time to call that situation not an investigation but a matter. And you've got deep state collusion leaking, 125 leaks in 126 days or thereabouts. This is absurd. The media is abusively biased and agenda driven. Here to rectify that is internet sensation, and I will say that a great author, Jack Posobiec, his book, Citizens for Trump, The Inside Story of the People's Movement to Take Back America. I've got my copy. I've read it. It's a great read. It's like being right there. He's so talented the way he's able to write his book. And Citizens for Trump, it's available on Amazon. Citizens for Trump, The Inside Story of the People's Movement, Take Back America. Jack Posobiec, we're so grateful to have you with us. You're with Roger Stone, who's over there. That's okay. Hey, Roger, how you doing? Sign us a book and come on our show, too. But Jack, let's start off with what we're seeing here with respect to the meeting with Donald Trump Jr., being set up via Fusion GPS. What's going on here?
Yeah, you know, I almost wish, and Doug, Joe, thanks so much for having me on this evening. I really wish that the New York Times would try a little bit harder to make something somewhat interesting to me. I mean, these meetings we're talking about are some of the most boring, short political meetings that we've heard. I mean, this doesn't even reach the standard of like a Tom Clancy novel or something we're talking about. This is literally a meeting that Donald Trump Jr. was in for about 20 minutes, if that, before he walked out and said, there's no reason for me to be here. This is a waste of my time. And somehow the entire mainstream media wants us to believe their canard, their complete conspiracy theory that they're peddling, that this has something to do with a proof of Russian collusion. When the meeting he took with Natalia Vilnitskaya was under the false pretenses that there was collusion, yes, between Hillary Clinton and the state of Russia. So my interesting take on it was I looked on Sunday and actually was able to find that meeting was brokered by none other than Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS, the Democrat opposition research firm that was behind the widely debunked Michael Steele dossier, the Golden Showers dossier that BuzzFeed put under, that James Comey was citing when he put out the FISA warrant for Trump. And, of course, Fusion GPS, who widely reported that their quote-unquote mysterious benefactor throughout the 2016 season was none other than George Soros. So was this, in fact, an example of George Soros using some of his connections with Fusion GPS to send a Russian there as a sort of false flag to set up Don Jr. and Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort, other people from the campaign to come in and make it appear that there was give the appearance of some sort of Russian collusion when, in fact, there was none?
Interesting. Yeah, none of this really makes a lot of sense when you look at it from a cruising altitude. I mean, it makes sense at least to the extent that this is all a setup. And Fusion GPS, this opposition research team, began what, 2009, three journalists from the Wall Street Journal, Glenn Simpson, among two others, hired back in 2012 to get the dirt on Mitt Romney. Then, of course, Center for Medical Progress, and then of course this Trump dossier. So, what a sewage pit this is, and there's nothing there.
Yeah, and I love the fact as well that and I commend Donald Trump Jr. for his ability that when questioned about the email chain, he simply goes and posts it on Twitter and says, hey, you guys want to see my emails? Here you go. This is not the same type of obfuscation. Hillary Clinton using bleach bit, using hammers to destroy her Blackberries, to destroy the 33,000 emails that you've never seen. James Comey with his memos, which may or may not have been government documents, sources within the FBI now say have been deemed to be classified. He's not going to show, he's not hiding. There's no cover up here. He says, hey, you want to see my cards on the table here? I'm going to post them on Twitter for you. And the New York Times had a complete meltdown today. It was so much schadenfreude with me watching it, laughing. They said, I can't believe they spent a year of my life tracking down these sources, and he just tweets it on Twitter. It's like, I'm confused. Are you surprised that a Trump would tweet something at this point after all we've been through? You're surprised that a member of the Trump family would take to Twitter to respond to you numbskulls? It's beside themselves, and that is how pitiful these journalists, if that's what they call themselves, are. I really tend to think of them as opposition at this point, because that's all they've turned themselves into be.
And I got to say, I love your Twitter feed. I follow you. And folks, follow Jack Posobiec on Twitter. It's the best time you'll ever have. You'll be informed. You'll be entertained. I mean, you had me informed. I was going through them like in the middle of the night, and I just started laughing at some of the stuff that you put out because it's funny. The way you, I mean, it's informative, but it's hilarious how you really light up the mainstream media and, of course, these progressive lunatics, these liberal lunatics. It's great. By the way, Citizens for Trump on Amazon, folks, buy that book. You won't be sorry. It's like being.
And there's
there.
A lot of, you know, to your point, and I appreciate that. You know, I try to keep a sense of humor about everything. That's, you know, people ask me, how do I go in and do this day in and day out? And I say, I think this is hilarious. And that sense of humor, it shows up in my tweets. And you'll see it all throughout the book. There's a lot of humorous stories. At one point, I recount a story of going to pick up McDonald's for the Trump campaign jet and just kind of sort of the hijinks that went in with that. And I said, well, yes, it's 20 Big Macs. For who? It's for Donald Trump. and turning around and, you know, sort of all the hilarity of actually getting that through Secret Service. No, seriously, it's McDonald's. No, what's in the bag, sir? It's a McDonald's bag. What do you expect?
Yeah, the stories in that book. I love that book. It's really one of my favorite nonfiction true books. It's like reading your diary, as I said earlier. And folks, you'll have a great time reading it. Citizens for Trump. I recommend that to anyone out there with any brain cells. You'll be entertained, informed, and you'll understand really what Jack did and what went into the campaign. Joe, where are you going to...
Yeah, so it goes into, it gets into me, you know, I call the book Citizens for Trump, and it's not a book about President Trump. It's a book about the citizens who came together and supported Trump in its movement. And I was the special projects director for the organization Citizens for Trump. We worked with Roger Stone all throughout 2016 to fight back against the fake news narratives. We worked with people like Mike Cernovich and so many, Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos, so many others tirelessly to put forward this campaign. And it's definitely a ragtag group of deplorables when it all comes down to it. And that's actually who I dedicated the book to. I said, this is for the deplorables. This is for everybody, man.
I would show it. I left it in my office. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, yeah, it's interesting to me, the title of the book, Citizens for Trump, that's ultimately who got Trump elected. And to continue to see this news coverage, like, there was this collusion or hacking, whatever they want to call it today or tomorrow, it's just so funny to me because I don't believe one vote was changed because of anything any other country did. It was the way that these two candidates both were received and interacted publicly, and the staunch difference that the country wanted to go in from the last 8 years. And
yeah, I actually said, I said to some people the other day, I said, yeah, if you want to know how Trump won the election, it didn't have anything to do with Russia. I wrote a whole book about it. Go look at the people. Go look at the 50,000 people showing up in Michigan, filling the stands for him, probably 40,000 of which were registered Democrats and union members, union households. Those were the people that elected Donald Trump. It had nothing to do with Vladimir Putin or the Russian state.
Boy, you're... Exactly. Well said. Perfectly said. Jack, what's on your radar here as we, obviously, the Donald Trump Jr. Manafort that...
In the leaks. I know you tweeted some stuff out about the leaks. earlier today.
What are you looking at specifically? What are we going to be reading about tomorrow, if we can ask?
I would say my sources are all telling me that a lot of the talk in Washington right now is turned towards this August recess and whether it will be taking place or not. The Senate has already announced. Now, normally, to give everyone some context, normally the House and the Senate, Congress, takes off the entire month of August. These people work very hard. They have their two. They only have about 26 vacation days a year. You know, these congressmen. So they take off the month of August and they say, oh, they're going back to their districts to form constituent casework. Well, what Citizens for Trump, the organization, actually started pushing among Congress a few weeks ago was to say, you know what? At this point, when we don't have a health care bill yet, Obamacare is yet to be repealed and replaced, when we don't have legislation for the wall, why don't we say that we are not going to take an August vacation? We're not going to have our summer recess. In fact, what we're going to do is stay here and actually do the work of the people who elected us to our jobs and the people whose tax dollars are going to pay for our salaries. So the Senate, under Mitch McConnell, and I got to give credit where it's due, he has announced that, that vacation time will be shrunk down from 4 weeks down to two. And now the House, I'd say there's about a 50% chance, my sources tell me, that the House will be reducing or completely eliminating the recess altogether. And as well, the House Freedom Caucus chair now is threatening a full government shutdown over funding for the wall. And that's a lot of stuff that's being obfuscated, of course, by the mainstream media, talking about Donald Trump Jr. and this complete nothing burger of a story, the fact that there is a major showdown looming over funding for the wall in the House Freedom Caucus. If you remember, Donald Trump was not exactly pleased with them, with their stance on his health care bill the first time around. Now they've come around to say, you know what, this border wall is something that needs to be done, and they're threatening a shutdown over it. I couldn't be more happy, because the people that put them in office, the people that came out to vote in November of 2016, they voted for a few singular things. One of them was American First, and one of them absolutely was a major border wall to see the United States retaking its sovereignty, retaking its primacy of national security of its citizens first. And so we saw this original bill for the budget come out under Paul Ryan. It included more money for defense of the borders of Libya and Afghanistan than it actually did for the border of the United States, if you can believe that.
Yeah, we can believe that, and that's sad. And we need to bring that back home, bring this back around, and enact the will of the people. And you know, the Congress, look, you work 24/7. I don't know when you sleep, folks. I'm serious. You follow his Twitter feed.
I don't sleep. Sleep is for cocks.
Right on, man. But see, why should Congress go home? Let them work the 14, 16 hours a day like most American people do, 7 days a week.
My friends in the White House, it's great. You know, I'll ask them, hey, do you guys want to meet up for dinner? Do you want to grab some bites after work? And they're like, Jack, after work? What are you talking about? There is no after work. Trump and Bannon expect us to work just as much as they do. And let me tell you something, those guys are never not working. The people, you know, the media wants to say, well, Trump is tweeting. You say, yeah, when Trump isn't tweeting, he's in the office, he's getting briefings, he's reading over documents, he's poring over legislation, he's on the phone with members of Congress, members of the Senate. He is literally working almost 24/7. The man gets about, I'd say the president gets about 4 to 5 hours of sleep at night, if that. So it's truly amazing to see. And for a lot of the staffers there, it's especially these longtime D.C. staffers, it is a wake-up call, because they are not used to working those yeoman hours. Now, myself, I'm a former Navy guy, so, you know, working hours like that, especially odd hours of the day and night, don't come as any difference to us.
Exactly. Jack, you mentioned about Donald Trump in this tweeting. I got a bad feeling about this. Just help me. Help me on this. Help me. Make me feel better. Because I don't want to have to go in my special safe place. Is there any chance that Donald Trump will lose in his capacity as President of the United States, lose his ability to use Twitter or any other social media to talk directly to the American people?
Well, the only chance of that happening, it wouldn't come necessarily from the government side. What the chance that of that happening would come from the forces of Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, or Mark Zuckerberg, of course, the CEO of Facebook, restricting, banning, or suspending Donald Trump from any of his accounts, his various accounts. This is a possibility of something that could happen because we've seen the clampdown of so many other pro-Trump accounts, pro-Trump groups. There's actually a group called the Official Deplorables on Facebook, 500,000 people, and it was suspended this week, and they still have yet to even answer why it was suspended. So we've seen these clampdowns again and again of this, and the other side understands it, believe me. However, I think, to be honest, that they're smart enough to know that they can't just ban the president, because if they banned President Trump, what would that do? That would rally people to his side. That would galvanize Trump supporters, that would galvanize even people that aren't really in the social media sphere to realizing that, hey, you guys are trying to shut up our president. This would be akin to saying that FDR wouldn't be allowed to do his fireside chats on the radio. Unheard of, right?
True.
But to hear the left saying that they're willing to call for a shutdown of the president, shut down his ability to speak. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to shame him into it. They're trying to say, well, you know, the president really shouldn't be having Twitter. The president shouldn't be, you know, sharing funny pictures. The president shouldn't be, you know, talking directly to the American people. What they're trying to do is destroy his conduit directly to the American people. Now, I know you guys were around during the campaign, but a lot of these Washington, D.C. types, these staffers, they weren't on the Trump team, Trump train during the campaign. They don't understand what exactly it was that people had to go through and the incredible benefit of having his 50 million followers between Facebook and Twitter, so he would have a conduit directly to the American people, completely bypassing all filters in terms of staff, all filters in terms of media. And we've seen the way that they refuse to cover him properly, the way they twist statements, the way they put words into his mouth that he never said, the way they make up claims about things that happened. And that is the power of Periscope, that is the power of Skype, the power of Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you name it, of being able to have people share information directly and communicate directly with one another. It's a power that they're trying to take away at the lower levels from Trump supporters, and at the higher levels, they're trying to shame the president into not using it. However, at this point, I don't believe that an old dog can learn new tricks, and if there's anything we know about Donald Trump, even before he was president, is that the man loves Twitter. In fact, I talk about this in my book. He actually had one of the first Twitter accounts. Back all the way in 2009 is when he started Twitter. It was mostly, you know, kind of a marketing thing at that point. But when he was first told about it, he said, oh, I can communicate directly with people? Yes, I absolutely want that. I want it immediately. He identified early on that having Twitter was a powerful social media communications tool so that he wouldn't need any other filter, anything else rather than that. So now we come full circle nearly 10 years later, and we've seen that Twitter has become almost the media of record. You know, when Donald Trump Jr. went to put out his statements, put out his announcements, post his emails, he didn't do it on some website. He didn't send an email or a press release. He tweeted it. He simply sent a tweet out and let it out there. And so, you know, Twitter at this point, what can I say? It's in the history books thanks to Donald Trump.
Indeed. Yeah, and I saw that there's this measure, that's the wrong word. There's this this attempt, you know, or this discussion of trying to get him not to use Twitter. It just worries me when I see that taking place. But having said all of that,
a lot of people do understand, a lot of his supporters understand what you just said, in that the media misrepresents just about everything he says and takes that out of the context. Therefore, he can't trust any other way of communicating other than for people to be able to read his own words. Which brings me to my next question. Are we going to see from Trump, or have we moved away from the era when presidents sit in the Oval Office and address the nation for different holidays or reasons? I know Obama didn't really do it much. You know, I know he had the press conference with the Osama bin Laden killing and a few others, but we used to have the president sit there and give direct talks to the American people. Any chance or talks about bringing stuff like that back?
You know, I've actually been a huge proponent of that, and what I've even said when I've talked to Dan Scavino or other members of the president's social media team, I've argued for more of live communication with the president. And I say he should bypass the mainstream media completely. Use the power of Periscope live streaming on Twitter. Use the power of Facebook Live. And literally, they should have someone set up a camera for him right there in the Oval Office and let him hit that button that says go live. And he can go live and take comments and do whatever he wants directly with the American people and completely bypass the media. Don't worry about, okay, you know, can the broadcast calendar move around all their schedules? Is whatever TV show, you know, is Big Bang Theory going to be bumped by the president tonight? Don't even worry about it. Go straight to the people. Go straight to using that live broadcast feature. And he is doing the president's weekly addresses from the Oval Office. But those are recorded. Those are scripted. They're good. He's putting out a great message. But I think the power of a live broadcast would be so much more effective, especially in terms of communication, because so many people today, that's how they communicate. I'm talking to you guys on Skype right now. So many, I do a Periscope, you know, once, twice, maybe three or four times a day. YouTube Live is another one.
Yep.
So have three cameras, have all of it set up, completely bypass the mainstream media. Number one, it would be way more effective than any of their cameras. Number two, it would drive the mainstream media completely insane to say that Trump doesn't need you anymore and he can immediately communicate directly with the people. And you know that everybody's going to want to talk about it and everybody's going to want to be in on it. But to get a piece of it, you're going to have to go to the man himself. And that's why they'll never ban him.
Do you think the use of the new media, the social media, alienates any of the older people out there?
You know, there was a point in time where I almost would have agreed with you on that and said yes, that it is alienating people. However, I've had people come up to me personally at events, or we hold MAGA meetups here in Washington, D.C., pretty much once a month or different things. And I got to tell you, when people come up to me on Twitter, and I've got 15-year-old kids all the way up to 75, 80-year-old people coming up and saying, oh, I read your tweets every day. I watch all your videos. I watch all your Periscopes. I love them. And I'm thinking, wow, you guys don't fit the mold at all whatsoever in terms of who they tell us uses this social media. Now, I think at this point, you know, people aren't sitting in their airport. Go to an airport, right? You guys have been in airports recently. CNN's always on. But let me ask you something. Is anybody sitting in those airports watching CNN? No.
No, most people
aren't. Where is everybody's eyes? Their eyes are on their hands, on that little screen that's right there. They're looking at their phones. And that is where Trump needs to be.
Exactly.
Forget about CNN. Forget about the TVs. Forget about the big screen. Control the little screen.
You're exactly right. Jack, we only have a few minutes left. Your book is going Great Guns Against Citizens for Trump. It reads like a journal, folks. I would urge everyone. Amazon's the best place to get it, right?
Yeah, Amazon's got it right up there. You can type in Citizens for Trump. It's a lot easier than spelling my last name, and it'll come right up the first thing.
Sounds good. Now, I'm not sure if we're about out of time. Hopefully, I'm not breaking any, I'm not talking out of school. Again, you're arm's length away or close by. Roger Stone, he's on the book signing. He's got a new book out, right?
Hey, Brad, that's right. So Roger's book, it's called The Making of the President. And what he does is give you a blow-by-blow historical account of the campaign itself. In 30 years, in 40 years' time, people will talk about Roger Stone's account of 2016 as the seminal book of record when it comes to this campaign. That is how he wrote it. It's excellently sourced. It's excellently paced out. It goes through everything in full detail and talks about some of those moments where it was quite harrowing to see what decision the president would take, the candidate at the time would take, in terms of dealing with a specific situation or not. And Roger's able to give analysis from the inside, from his perch. And he also goes back 40 years ago to some of his first meetings with President Trump and his first dealings with him, and saying to him, even back in the 1970s, 1980s, you need to run for president.
You know, I spoke briefly with Alex Jones about that, and he says, yeah, you definitely got to get this book. So you can just whisper in Roger's ear when you have a chance that we're going to be ordering some multiple copies of his book, and also whisper in his ear, hey, get your butt on our program.
I'm going to tell him. He's actually, he's over in the other room. You know, it's funny, we were joking about fake news and the New York Times, and Roger goes, you know, these staffers today, they're so worried about the New York Times and the Washington Post. And he goes, when I was 17 years old, I had the Warren Commission and Watergate to deal with. You tell me you're worried about some kind of headline? Please. These people are, they're snowflakes. They're panty waists compared to what we had to go through.
Indeed. Absolutely right. Jack Posobiec, internet sensation, fantastic investigative researcher, journalist, author extraordinaire. Jack, thanks for sharing your time. I know it's a hassle breaking away. Always dapper looking, always informative. Thanks. And do check back with us again.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure, and I will talk to Roger immediately about coming on.
All right. Thanks, brother. Until next time, God bless.
Take care, guys.
All right, man.
Have a good one.
God bless.
Jack Posobiec, what a great guy, and what a knowledgeable guy. I was rolling laughing when I was reading some of his tweets. I think I retweeted one that certain things. I got a really twisted sense of humor. Certain things just really make me laugh. But
I don't know what it is about Twitter. I'm not a big Twitter person. I mean, I always find what's relevant on there.
I never was either until.
And I find it by looking at headlines and searching the internet and finding stories, and then taking those links back to Twitter. And I used to do what
the tweet deck.
The tweet deck. Yeah. You can have.
Yeah.
I don't
Multiple
know why it got old for me, but it's very useful and it is entertaining. That's for sure.
It's time sensitive is what it is, and especially when it's not crowded. You get 2, 3, 4 in the morning Eastern time, it kind of calms down a little bit. It's always interesting. But folks, we're gonna be back. Stay right where you're at. Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman, Joe Hagman, America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. Right here on Global Star Radio Network, BTR, and YouTube Live. Stay right where you're at. Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smoke. Fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. TimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288. PreciousTimberProfits.com. PreciousTimberProfits.com.